Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone. This is a quick shout out to thank all the wonderful people who are members of the Set Lusting Booth Patreon page. So we have Jess Ulmer, Sylvian L., Liz Bronson, Yetta, Fernando Lozano, Steve Vansack, The Ghost of Floyd, Rob, Crystal Carroll, Bella Pori, John Munson, Betsy Hodges, Levi Petrie, Stephen Malio, Captain America, Steve Rogers, Dale Hozek, Terry Smith, Anna Lynn, Chris Bloom, and Mary Thomas. So go to patreon.com, look for Set Lusting Bruce. If you want to support me, I would appreciate it. Thank you, listeners, and thank you, my wonderful Patreon supporters.
I was always a bit of a writer, even as a child. And I did. I just loved storytelling. I loved creating a whole world out of nothing. And you know, for a while I worked as a journalist, but also I've worked in communications and marketing. And in any of those cases, whether it's writing about what's actually happening in the world or whether you're being a little more creative about it, mm-hmm. you're always sort of conjuring that. You're always figuring out the best way to tell this story, you know, whether it's fact or fiction.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new episode of Set Lusting Bruce, your podcast all about Bruce Springsteen, his music, and mostly his fans. I am your host, Jesse Jackson. Joining me this evening is a new friend. Let me make sure I can get the name right, Deb Filsman. And welcome to the show, my friend.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, tell me a little bit about yourself.
Let's see, what can I tell you? I have been a Springsteen fan for, 25 years or so. I'm originally from the East Coast, not far from Springsteen land. I grew up on Staten Island, and now I live in Chicago. I am a writer and editor, and I work in marketing as well. And I guess that's about it for me.
Well, that's a lot. Yeah. So you're like two when you started first liking Bruce.
Exactly.
Very just nice. Yes. Yeah. So I always like to start at the beginning. So tell me about growing up. You said it was there on the East Coast. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about growing up, what kind of music your parents listened to. Talk to me about that.
Sure. You know, music wasn't a huge deal for my parents that I can recall. You know, they always encouraged my brother and I to listen to whatever we enjoyed. And there was a nice stereo in the house, and there were a lot of records, but I don't actually remember them being played all that often. And in fact, when they were, it was usually me playing them. As a little kid, so they had some good stuff, you know. It introduced me to, the Carpenters, Dylan, Jim Croce, Linda Ronstadt. I mean, there were some nice records there, and I kind of took over and grabbed them and would take them to my room and play them there. And I still have them in my possession here in Chicago. But they didn't play that much. I remember my dad maybe occasionally would put on something like Nat King Cole or something like that. my mom, the most I really remember her listening was she had this little black transistor radio that was plugged in the corner of our kitchen. And when she was cooking or, you know, doing anything in the kitchen, she would turn it on. And I just remember as a little kid lying on the floor in the kitchen, listening to it with her while she cooked dinner, and getting yelled at to get up off the floor. But that was really all, you know, and for her, it was probably, you know, a light rock station or, you know, top 40 or something like that. So there wasn't much, you know, precedent in my house for music. But, you know, I just kind of listened to a little bit of everything, whatever random bit made its way in the house, and didn't really get super into music until a little bit later.
So I was going to ask that, why do you think you found a passion in music, unlike your parents? And do you have siblings?
Yep, I have the one brother, older brother. You know, I think it was really my uncle, my mom's brother, who was always a huge, huge music fan. To this day, you know, a lot of friends think I go to a lot of concerts. I just see a lot of live music whenever I can. And he still beats me. He still, you know, goes to more shows than I do. Just about every night of the week, he's going to something. And I think it was really him that encouraged me. And he took me to my first concert, and then, you know, dozens and dozens more through the years. And when I go back to New York to visit, he's always my concert buddy still.
He's like, oh, okay, Deb, you're coming. We yep. got this. Okay. I've got us plans for this. That is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So can you remember when you first discovered Bruce and what about him and his music spoke to you?
You know, I was probably in high school, and this was, you know, the 90s. So it was before the reunion tour. And honestly, I think it was my brother who, he's 2 years older than me, and he went away to college. And I think it was, I don't know if it was his roommate or a friend of his, was a really big Springsteen fan. And, you know, it kind of rubbed off on my brother a bit. And so he came home listening to a lot of Springsteen, you know, on breaks. And I kind of grabbed onto some of that, you know, grabbed a CD or whatever. And, you know, I had awareness of Springsteen. I'd heard, you know, the hits, the Glory Days and Hungry Heart and stuff like that, but didn't know, you know, the wealth of music, you know, that he had. And so at that point, I think I very quickly latched on to Greetings from Asbury Park. And for many years, I probably would have told you that that's my favorite Springsteen album. You know, and I think my favorite switches every, you know, couple of years or whatever. But I mean, I just loved it. And I loved The Wild, The Innocent and The E Street Shuffle. And I think it was really just the storytelling that spoke to me. You know, I've always said one of the things that I love about his music, and especially his earlier work, is that they're all short stories. Every song is a short story. There's character and setting and, you know, plot, and, you know, there's a whole narrative going on, and you can really picture these specific people. It's not just like every man. There's a very specific set of characters doing very specific things. And I really always loved that.
I agree. There was, multiple years now, but I stumbled upon it was a parody account that did a Bruce Springsteen putting out an award-winning new collection of short stories. And it was a fake article that made every album a novel instead, or a book written by him. That was just fascinating. And I was if you believe in alternate worlds, like I would love to visit this alternate world where you could buy a Bruce Springsteen novel the same way like you buy a Stephen King book and explore these stories. I thought Western Stars was like a collection of Elmore Leonard short stories. It had that connection to Nebraska to me, this telling tales. But I agree. I think in every way, he's always told stories. And so I want to get to why you decided to become a journalist, but is that part of it? You think that because you like to communicate, you were into writing, is that one of the reasons you think it spoke to you so much?
I think it did. I mean, you know, obviously I was younger. I was in high school. I hadn't really chosen a career path yet or really put too much thought into it at that point. But yeah, I think that's something that's always spoken to me in various ways. I was always a bit of a writer, even as a child. I just loved storytelling. I loved creating, creating a whole world out of nothing. And, you know, for a while I worked as a journalist, but also, I've worked in, you know, communications and marketing and in any of those cases, whether it's, writing, you know, about what's actually happening in the world or whether you're being a little more creative about it. You're always sort of conjuring that. You're always figuring out the best way to tell this story, whether it's fact or fiction. That just always spoke to me.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here, taking a break from listening to a little Shouted Out Loudcast episode. Love Tom and Zeus talking all things KISS. Of course, I was listening to them on my new Raycon wireless earbuds. They have quickly become my go-to earbuds because of the comfort. These soft tips are the best I've ever used. And at this price, plus a Pantheon discount, Raycon is really hitting on all marks. Sound quality is great too. I really love having these three EQ options because I like more bass in the music, but less in my podcast. 8 hours of playtime for the battery is great as well. Surround sound, noise isolating, and awareness mode are all included. These are great earbuds. Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order plus free shipping. That's right. You'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time, it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant-quality meals. Well, they got the shipment to Protein Plus Meal Plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian-approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
When did you, when you decided to go to school, so I take it this wasn't something you always wanted to be like, oh, I want to be a communicator, I want to be a writer. But what led you to that path as you started going through school?
You know, I think I kind of just fell into it. I knew writing was one of my skills and something I enjoyed doing, but I didn't know how I could, you know, how I could use that moving forward and how that would be a part of my life. Mm-hmm. And I think I also always enjoyed, you know, art in any form. I loved film. I loved novels, I love, you know, visual art. And so at some point, just as kind of something to do, something to try, I decided to start doing reviews, film reviews for the school paper in college. And that kind of pushed me down that road. I realized how much I enjoyed doing that. Mm-hmm. So then I just latched on and I started writing a ton for the paper. And went to graduate school afterwards to study journalism. Mm-hmm. And kind of never looked back, or at least not for many years.
Yeah. What brought you to Chicago?
A little bit of boredom, I think.
Okay.
I had, as I just mentioned, I went to grad school and I did that in Boston. And at first I thought I would live in Boston for a year or two, finish school and move on. I wasn't a huge fan in the beginning, and somehow I just stayed there for, I think, 12 years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I learned to love Boston, and I'll defend it to the end. But I think it's a little bit of a small city. And after 12 years, I was just kind of itching for something new to explore. So I just kind of almost sight unseen, I would say sight unseen, but I did once visit Chicago before moving there.
Okay.
And it was to see Springsteen at Wrigley. That was the only time I had been there. I had already had that thought in my head that maybe Chicago sounded like the kind of city I would enjoy, had never been. And a lot of my friends were going to see Springsteen at Wrigley, and I thought, you know what, this could be a good test. Mm-hmm. And obviously just a fun weekend. So I went to do that, and I was like, yeah, that confirms it. And it took me a little while, but about 2 years later I moved out here.
Have you learned to love Chicago?
Oh yeah, I absolutely love Chicago for sure.
Yeah, it is. It seems like a great city. I visited only once, like for a conference, so I didn't get to see mm-hmm. a lot of it. But it seems, and a lot of cool people have been on the podcast or talked to me about that. So yeah, mm-hmm. it seems like it's on my list where I'd love to go see him perform there.
So, yeah, well, you have two more opportunities this summer.
Yes, I saw that. Yes, I did. When I always like to preface this, Deb, that the amount of times you've seen Bruce mm-hmm. perform live is not a fair barometer of how big of a fan you are.
Sure.
It is. It just all depends on your age and economic circumstances, where you live, just situations. But do you count how many times you've gone?
I don't.
Okay.
I'm, you know, all of my fellow fans and friends seem to keep count. Everyone's, you know, sort of proud of their number. I have a lot of friends, whether Springsteen or other bands that I'm passionate about, who keep spreadsheets to see which songs they've seen over the years and which they haven't. And I don't do any of that. To me, it's fun. You know, I don't mm-hmm. want to work at it. I don't want to, you know, track everything. I just want to enjoy it. So I haven't counted, but given that people ask me that a lot,
yes.
I would estimate it's probably somewhere in the 60 to 70
okay.
range is my best guess.
Do you, by the way, I always throw this out there because I'm that kind of geek. My Boss Time does the work for you. You create a free account and it has every tour listed, and you just go and go, yep, I was at that one. Yep, I was at this one. Yep, I was this one. And then it gives you all the fun things about, oh, here are your most rare songs. Here are the songs you've heard the most. So it's a fun rabbit hole to go down to. That for is sure. Great. When was your first show?
My first show was on the reunion tour, and my uncle took me to my first, probably several Springsteen shows. And I keep trying to remember if I bad fan here, but I don't recall if this was literally the first one I went to or not, but I think we were at Madison Square Garden, and my, you know, we're waiting for the show to start back in the day when he used to be an hour past ticket time, and we're waiting. And my uncle asked me, what are you hoping to hear tonight? And, you know, again, I was young. I didn't know a lot of history. I'd just been listening on my own at home. I didn't have this whole Springsteen community that we have now. And I thought, well, you know, anything from Greetings or Wild and Innocent would make me happy. And I very specifically remember my uncle saying, well, you're out of luck because he doesn't play that stuff anymore. And we did wind up getting New York City Serenade. We got For You. And what else did we get? I think we got at least three songs from the first two albums. And so he was like, well, I stand corrected. but it's one of those things where it's like, you know, I had no reason to, you know, there was no expectation that I would get those things. But that's a pretty incredible first show, you know, setting the standard for me. So I have a lot of friends who always complain about certain songs that they've never heard. And I'm like, you know what? Those were my earliest memories of seeing Springsteen, you know, not trying to brag or,
yes,
you know, but it's just a whole different perspective for me. I was like, of course, how could you have not seen that by now? But
what?
You just never know what you're going to get.
So to pull the curtain back a little bit, I tend to stack episodes on top of each other so that my family, you know, I don't end up podcasting every night, and my wife's out of town. So of course, what do? I just book more podcasts. I'm just a boring guy. So I just recorded someone before you, mm-hmm, and eerily similar story. He's going with his father to the Rising Tour, which was one of his first shows. And his dad's like, what do you want to hear? And he says, well, I want Rosalita. He goes, he's not playing that this tour. And he got Rosalita. And his dad goes, okay, I guess I should not say anything. So I love that. Yeah, that is absolutely great. All right, hang tight, because I want to hear. Deb wrote an absolutely beautiful review, and I want to talk more about the tour. Hold on for a minute. I've got to do a little bit of business. Let's listen to these fine promotions for other shows on our podcast network, and we'll be back in just a moment. And we're back. Hi, Deb. You wrote a great review on our mutual friends blog, Us on the Edge of Town, the Springsteen blog. And you talked about Milwaukee. And I've read it, and I'm sure most of my audience has, but talk about, did you have expectations going into this tour? Did they meet them? Talk to me a little bit about your experience with this tour.
Sure. You know, my expectations were actually kind of low, which I know seems like a surprising thing to say about Springsteen. Not because of him or any indications of his performance, just the situation and where things are in my life and maybe in his, and, you know, a lot of my friends and audience members. Just, you know, I didn't really listen to any of his music for probably since the pandemic started. I've for whatever reason that I should probably delve into at some point, you know, since the pandemic started, I kind of stopped listening to music at home anyway. You know, like if I'm out in my car, I'll be listening, or, you know, if I'm out with friends somewhere, but there used to be music playing in my apartment at all times, and there just isn't anymore. So I haven't really listened very much to the last couple albums. You know, I've heard them, you know, I have some awareness and familiarity. I wouldn't say they're my favorite, but I certainly like pieces of them and certain tracks. You know, and I didn't know what to expect of, you know, my own feelings about what I would be seeing and hearing without having that need to listen all the time. Was I just kind of moving on? Would I be as excited as I typically was? You know, and just, it was a long few years. I'm sort of in the high risk category. And so just being in an arena like that with so many people is still a little nerve wracking to me. So I wasn't really sure what I was walking into, you know, but I was obviously pleasantly surprised all around, you know, with the show itself and with just seeing it with my friends again and just having that whole experience again was really familiar and comforting and just nice.
So I'm curious, and I'm not trying to do armchair psychology, but did podcasts, did TV, did movie, did books? What took up your time that was music now for your entertainment, you know, pandemic and such? What filled that void?
Yeah, I think a lot of it was really more mindless stuff. I watched a lot of Netflix, probably more than ever. I also got a puppy at the beginning of the pandemic. So he's my prime entertainment and constantly taking up my time. So there was that.
I've seen photos on your Twitter and it is an adorable puppy dog.
Thank you. So yeah, I mean, there was, you know, reading too. I was a voracious reader in the past. And I think during the pandemic, I just kind of eased off and haven't been able to hold that focus long enough to really move forward in books and polish them off. I have, you know, a whole bunch of them sitting half read. So you know that's something that I'm I think starting to get over finally. But it was just whatever it was that shifted my headspace during that time just didn't leave a whole lot of room, I guess, for art and for those things that I found pleasurable in the past.
You know, one of the things that I'm finding is I do not listen as much to new music. I'm a huge John Hyatt fan. I do a John Hyatt podcast, obviously a huge Springsteen fan. Brian Wilson was my first obsession, but I have just really discovered podcast over the past 5-6 years, and the time I would have spent, this Belinda Carlisle everyone's talking about, I should check her out, and you know, I should do a deep dive on Drive-By Truckers and early Jason Isbell. I just end up, I should do this Story Song podcast or doing this. So I just was curious, and you know, for me, Letter to You has a significant impact because of COVID and because of this pandemic and being in lockdown. And luckily, no one in my family got COVID till recently. And so we did that. But the being a blueberry in a very strawberry state, I'm here in Texas. The idea, and I joked about this in the fall of 2020, if we could get a new Springsteen album and a new president, maybe 2020 wouldn't be the worst year ever in our lives. So I have a lot of affection for Letter to You. I also think I hit 63. I'll turn 64. It's my Beatles year this year. and I do feel that, you know, the road in front of me is much shorter than the road behind me. So it spoke to me in a lot of ways. So with that going in, and by the way, I got COVID going to the show. I went Friday night, February 10th in Dallas. Then I went to Houston with my wife and I for Valentine's Day, February 14th. Aww. And then Thursday, I went by myself to Austin. And I was like, oh, and then we had tickets for Tulsa. I'm like, I'm going to see four shows in 2 weeks. This Amazing. Is the greatest thing. And I got home Friday. I worked. And then I got home and I don't feel good. And I woke up Saturday morning feeling horrible. And I go, okay, you've gone to three events with 50,000 people over. Yeah. Let's take a COVID test. And it turned positive so fast.
Oh no.
So
well, I had I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah. And of course, I don't buy insurance for tickets. No way. I'm not going. No. So yeah. So luckily a mom, a dad, and a daughter got to go to see Bruce Free. And they had never gone to a show before. So I felt money well spent.
Yeah. Fantastic.
So you're going in with not an anticipation, a concern like, okay, I've kind of drifted. It's not that you've put Bruce on the couch, like saying, okay, you know, we're kind of, I'm not unhappy with you. It's just priorities have changed. So you're walking in going, okay, it's a show. Talk to me about that. And then once it happened, what were your feelings?
Yeah. The one thing I never would doubt is his performance. I mean, I know, you know, after this many years and this many shows, I know that whatever type of show he's putting on, he's gonna, you know, just empty the tank and put it all out there. Mm-hmm. So I had no concerns about that. You know, and it's almost silly to say concern. I had no concerns about any of it. I was happy to be there. I was glad we were, you know, doing this again. But I really didn't know what kind of show it would be and what kind of set list he was putting together.
Yeah.
And again, as I said, like I hadn't listened to the last couple albums very much. You know, and if I'm being honest, you know, I support, you know, him going in whatever direction he wants to. And he's certainly earned the right to follow his muse wherever it goes. But these probably weren't speaking to me the way I would have wanted them to.
Yeah.
I think they're still great. You know, it's great work. I think he's accomplished what he was trying to do with these albums. It wasn't necessarily what I wanted from these albums.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I had a great guest on after Western Stars, and she said, this wasn't the album I wanted from Bruce. Mm-hmm. Because of the political situation, she was wanting a Magic or something.
Oh, yeah.
And so we had a wonderful discussion because she's like, I'm not saying he can't follow his muse, but it wasn't what I needed at this time.
Exactly.
Right. And so I get that. I totally understand that. So just wanted to make that point. Go ahead.
Yeah. And I think, you know, in a couple of years, I might listen to it again and say, this resonates with me completely now. It's just where I am right now. That's not what I needed.
Right.
And I agree with your previous guest. You know, I would have loved a really pointed, angry album. And I completely respect that that's not where he was. But that probably would have spoken to me more given everything that's been going on in the world.
Yeah.
And so I was just curious. I really had no idea where he was going to go with it. I kind of made a point to not look at set lists the way I normally would on tour, to not know all the minutiae that I have on previous tours. You know, of course, set listing every night on Twitter or wherever.
Yeah.
I mean, I have some friends who laugh when I say this, but there's a lot of songs that I absolutely love, will always love, always enjoy hearing. But the thing that they laugh about is I say, I don't need that. You know what I mean? I've seen it, you know, 60 times live, and I don't need it, which is obviously a very, very privileged thing for me to say, to have had the opportunity to see it so much. But, you know, at this point, I'd love to hear things that I haven't heard much.
Right.
So in that sense, you know, when we were walking out of the stadium in Milwaukee, or the arena, I should say, I was thinking, this is really, I mean, a few of these sort of darker, more reflective sort of, you know, the Reaper is coming kind of songs thrown in from, you know, Letter to You. But otherwise, it was really, I hesitate to say, a greatest hit show. You know, I mean, he's not specifically touring an album right now, per se, and that's what it was. And I was fine with that. And I loved the show. And, you know, I thought everything was great. But if I'm being honest, like, I would have loved to hear other things. You know, and I know I saw a tweet from Steve Van Zandt the other day that I found particularly interesting, where someone was, I think, saying something similar about, you know, not the lack of like deep cuts or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, well, just, you know, this is a different thing. Enjoy your memories of what you had previously. And, you know, a lot of people like this, and I'm sure they do. I mean, it's a great show. But it's not what I would have preferred, again, similar to the albums. You know, with a Bruce show, you can't go wrong no matter what. But, you know, we all have those little nuggets we'd like to see and hear.
So what I love about your comments is that you are self-aware to know that this is just speaking for you.
Mm-hmm.
The issue I've had with social media, which is a blessing and a curse, is the sense of the entitlements of people. Mm-hmm. I can't believe this. You know, I bought 3 show tickets, right, because he's supposed to change the set list every night. Yeah. And now he's not. Now I dare him.
Yeah.
I don't know. I will send you. Craig Colby was just recently on the podcast, and he was at the show, and he wrote up, you know, Steven said, we're trying to tell a story. Mm-hmm. And other people have said that. And I will send you this. Craig wrote what he thinks the story is. And okay. I found it very interesting. Like he said, no surrender, ghosts, prove it all night. This trifecta to start says that we are soldiering on in the face of age and mortality. We're going to bring it tonight.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree.
Yeah. Letter to You. My relationship with my audience is important to me. And mm-hmm. So he went through that. And I get if someone is saying, well, it's not what I wanted. And what I love is when people are smart enough to say, not smart enough, aware enough, that it's like you're saying, you know, I think The Rising would have been stronger if we dropped some songs, but none of us are going to agree with what songs should have been dropped.
Right.
Right. And so what, you know, and I was laughing at the guys on None But the Brave. They were talking about how wonderful it was to get Trapped. What a gift. And to me, Trapped is just another cover song. It means nothing to me.
No, I hear that. I love Trapped, but I totally understand that.
And so I think, and then, and I think this is partly because I grew up loving comic books. Mm-hmm. And a saying in a comic book is, every comic book is someone's first comic book.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore, when you're writing, you need to make this inclusive. You need to make sure your characters call someone by the other name so they will know. And every Springsteen show is someone's first Springsteen show. Yep. And to do that, it's kind of there. My wife asked me, because I went to 4 shows on the New River Tour, you know, and back. Yep. And she says, weren't you bored because it was the same? I said, the songs I loved, I loved. The songs I don't like, I didn't like. Right?
Yeah, but it's always, and I, you know, and I think I even put this in my review as well. I'm always stunned when people ask me, like, you saw it again? Like, why do you keep seeing the same show? And, you know, I always compare it to, you know, someone having season tickets to a baseball team or something. You know, they're going to way more games than I am shows. And to me, it's all the same. You know, they throw a ball, someone hits it.
Yes.
You know, I'm not a baseball fan. So so that's how I feel about it. But, you know, obviously that's how people who are not not as passionate about music, live music, feel about our repeat.
Yeah, no. And I talked to somebody on Spring Nuts Facebook, right? They said, don't you find this boring? And I said, you know, I've gone three times. I didn't find it boring. Mm-hmm. I went to Four in the River, didn't find it boring. Every time I watch Casablanca, I don't find it boring. Every time I watch Shawshank Redemption, I don't find it boring. Every time I listen to Pet Sounds, I don't find it boring. The idea, right, that repetition makes it boring, it's just in all your mindset, correct?
Absolutely. I mean, it's all in what you're bringing to it at that moment. So it's not just about Bruce, it's about you as a listener.
Yeah.
But also about Bruce's mood, the band's mood, the location, the different crowd, the, you know, what happened during that particular day, you know, the set list. There's so many different variables in my mind that, you know, even as you say on that river tour, you're never getting the same show twice. It's impossible.
Yeah. And so for me, I've been very vocal about this. I found out on Thursday before we were going to go on February 9th, I got a call that my brother, who is fighting cancer, the doctor said it, you know, he was in hospice. It's done. He's going to go. And so, he was in Houston, because of COVID protocols, they would not let anyone in the room with him except one at a time. They would not let us sit in the waiting room. They wouldn't let, you know, so, you know, I'm talking to my sister and she's like, what are you going to Houston for? You're going to sit in the car? You know, Dean would want you to go to the show. And I said, okay. So, you know, Friday night, you know, when he says, I'll see you in my dreams, I won't lie. I was crying. And then on Monday, you know, he passed. That trifecta. Yeah, I joked about that. February was a weird month. Three shows, losing my brother, getting COVID. Talk about the best of times, worst of times. So, but, you know, and also, what if you meet some really cool people before the show, or you're sitting next to people? Like, my son took me to WrestleMania this past summer. He wanted me to go with him. And we had like a dozen people around us. And afterwards, Chris was like, that was the best crowd ever. We had so much fun. And sometimes you're in that, whether you're in the pit or sitting, if the people around you are having as much fun, it really can help the show.
Yeah, absolutely. And in this case, in Milwaukee, the, you know, the group of like six people that I was with, you know, we're all close friends, but don't get to see each other all the time necessarily. And we've all gone to a lot of Springsteen shows and other shows together. And this was the first time that whole group was together again, you know, as kind of a unit and going through this experience together again. And that makes all the difference. You know, it almost didn't matter what happened on stage at that point, you know, once I saw everyone and we were all hanging out and laughing and joking and, you know, you just see those group dynamics kick in. It's just great. It takes you away.
You've talked about that you don't count, but it's been a fair amount of shows.
Yep.
Do you have some surprises that you went, oh my goodness, I can't hear that? Like for me, I was in Houston when he did If I Was the Priest for the first time in 50 years. Nice. That was like, oh my goodness, we're all there. And my wife, who's the casual fan, is like, why are y'all getting excited? You know, we just watched the film on Apple Plus and he played it. I mean, you know, why are you? Yeah.
Focus.
Yes, exactly. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely, you know, again, a lot of my friends really like to track everything and, you know, and just have much better memories than I do, clearly, because they could tell, like, just at a moment's notice, think of, you know, the year, the date, you know, what part of the set it was, you know, and to me, you know, again, I don't mean to sound like I'm just, you know, taking everything for granted, but like it all kind of melds together over the years, you know, it's each one is amazing in its own way at the time. And then kind of after a year or two, I don't remember, was it this show or that show? and, but there are still some that, that really stand out. You know, the Wild and Innocent and the East Street Shuffle show, when he was doing album shows for a while. See, and even when I, as I say that, I'm like, I know everyone else knows what year that was. I can't remember.
Okay. So I have to interrupt you with, I had a guy on once that I adored him because he's like, so we were living in Austin during the, during the Magic Tour. And then we went, and that's how he, where he lived. Now my son, who is a massive Dallas Cowboy fan, he goes, that was the year that we lost to the, you know, the Green Bay during the playoffs, and he could do that. I can't think of that either. You know, it all kind of rolls together with me.
But he was doing those album shows, and I remember I already had tickets, I think, for a couple of shows. And then I remember like sitting in the newsroom late one night when they announced that these, which show is which and which albums he was going to be doing. And I just screamed so loud that one of the other reporters came like running over to make sure I hadn't been, you know, killed. And because I realized I was getting Wild and Innocent. And I think also, and it's funny because I also was getting Born in the USA. And my first thought was like, you know, no big deal. And then I went to these shows again with my uncle, my concert buddy. And I remember he had the same feeling about Born in the USA, and the two of us are sitting there, you know, in the Meadowlands, and we're like, why were we not excited about this? This album is amazing, you know? so those were fun, but especially Wild and Innocent. I mean, again, a lot of songs I didn't think I'd ever hear, or at least ever hear again, you know, and hearing them obviously in that order, and knowing it was all coming out that night. I have a distinct memory of seeing the tuba come out and being surprised. And I'm like, how could you not notice the tuba come out? You know? and from then on, I decided every rock band should have a tuba player. That's just my feeling now.
So, a couple of years ago, I was at a Penn and Teller act. And there was, I just adore them. I listened to his podcast, and there was a trick where they changed the background, and I'm like, how did that happen? And so when I went and saw it a second time, I was specifically watching for this switch. Well, the same thing, you're like, when did the horns get on stage? Wait a minute, how did I miss four horn people coming on stage? And where's the background singers? Is there risers underneath or something? Are they performing? This is the magic trick he's talking about?
Right. It's so funny when you realize that you were so transfixed on something else that you didn't even notice something happening right in front of you. And that's a pretty cool trick.
So I'm going to switch gears just for a moment. In 2020, I was laid off in January, like the second or third day of January. And the company I was with now made me an offer, and it was toward the end of January, first of February. And they said, we want you to start February 10th, which thank goodness I didn't have to look for a job during COVID, but we had about a little over a week before my wife, I had to start. So we went to Memphis for the weekend. You see where I'm going. And we had the best time. The Civil Rights Museum, absolutely go. Stacks, I have been to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, mm-hmm. and I have been to the Stax Museum, and Stax is smaller, but it is just as impressive.
Awesome. I'm really excited.
Yeah.
As I've said, I've never been there before. And it's my birthday weekend mm-hmm. next month. And so I'm going to meet one of my oldest friends who I really only see once a year or every other year. Mm-hmm. And we're just going to spend a couple of days, but I'm trying to pack everything in.
Yeah.
The itinerary is already a little bit ambitious.
Yeah, they have all kinds of music museums. We went to every one we could. We went and made sure that every place we played had live music and had a great moment. We were at a place for lunch, and there were two guys playing, you know, music. And my wife always jokes because I'm going to ask for a Bruce song. and 80% of the time, maybe not high, 60%, I'm going to get I'm on Fire. That's yep. If you're a singer, songwriter, sure. It's easy. And they did, and they did Tougher Than the Rest.
Oh, nice.
And I'm like, nice.
They're our people.
Yeah, they are our people. Thank you. That was really nice. So, yeah, you're going to have a great time. Graceland is cheesy. But it is worth it. It is worth seeing.
Yeah.
It is, I'm sure you've been told this before, but almost everyone who tours, especially musicians, are kind of laughing about it till they get to the gold and platinum record room. And they kind of go, oh, wow. Yes. So good. And lots of great places to eat. You'll have fun. Of course, you're going to eat ribs. You're going to have a blast. So enjoy yourself so much.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Yes. Is there anything I should have asked you that I haven't besides the Mary question?
No, I don't think so. Okay. I will say, I guess after, you know, if anyone doubts how I felt about the Milwaukee show, based on what I wrote about it or said, I did buy tickets for both Wrigley shows. So I'm still all in, and I'm excited to see if and how the tour evolves by then. That's August, I guess.
So what was funny is, you know, Linda, my wife, was going on Friday night, and then Tuesday was February 14th, and we were in Houston, and I said, do you want to go? It's Valentine's Day. Like, I'm going to go whether you go or not, but do you want to? I would rather you go with me. And so she said yes, and when she found out the set list wasn't changing, mm-hmm. it was kind of, well, I thought that was the deal. I mean, I'm a casual fan, but I thought that changed. That was one of the reasons I said yes.
Right.
I said, well, I don't know. And so she, both my son and her on the way home from Dallas said, well, okay, if we get that set list again, I'm not going to complain. That was pretty fun.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun. Yeah. So yes, that is
reluctantly.
Great. Yes. Absolutely. So we got to have you back on in Chicago. This has been a blast. I just appreciate it so much.
Thank you so much.
So if you are a friend of Deb's and you're listening to this, thank you. She has done you very proud. I end every podcast with the Mary question. Jay Armstrong is a writer, former high school teacher, mm-hmm. that when he was teaching, he would give his class the lyrics to Thunder Road. They would treat it as a poem. They would compare it to like Robert Frost poems. Mm-hmm. They'd look at the imagery. They'd talk about the themes. And at the end of the 2 days, he would ask the question, does Mary get in the car? So Deb, mm-hmm. that is your question. Does Mary get in the car at the end of Thunder Road?
I think she does. I think, you know, that record for the most part was full of hope. And so I think she got in the car, but I don't know that they went anywhere special. you know, I don't think he whisked her off to some foreign land. I think, you know, they went a couple of towns over, you know, had kids too early, didn't work out, and then Darkness on the Edge of Town came, you know? I think she got in though.
Well, I love that answer. That's a good answer. I get that more. I have heard that a lot of times they go, yeah, at the very first gas station, when he goes to get his cigarette, she goes, what the hell am I doing?
Right. What am I doing here?
Yeah. One of my most sentimental answers was someone said, she absolutely gets in the car. They make it all the way to California. And Moonlight Motel is him mourning her death.
Oh,
I know.
Yeah.
That's sweet.
Yeah,
that is good. Yeah. Well, great. Deb, do you have anything to promote?
I don't.
Okay. Well, then if someone wants to reach you, how can they?
You can find me on Twitter at Deb Filsman, or on Instagram at Deb Snoops.
That sounds perfect. Have a great time in Memphis. Enjoy yourself. The Stax Museum will make you smile. The Civil Rights Museum will make you feel just
all the
yes. I mean, just all the feels, yeah. You know, and it's just, it's so well done. So I hope you have a great time. Thank you so much for spending time with me tonight. This is wonderful. If I can convince Linda to go to Chicago, I will let you know. And we can try to do a meetup beforehand.
Yeah, so, that sounds great.
All right.
Thanks for having me. This was really fun.
Well, I am glad. Listeners, go follow her on Twitter. Let us know what you think. But for now, be safe, be kind, and we'll talk to you soon. Goodbye. There we go. Another episode. I'm about to go through a couple of things where you can reach me and give me feedback. So if you want to skip this, I understand. But I do hope you check it out every once in a while. I'm available on Twitter at Jesse Jackson DFW. The show is available at SetLustingBruce. You can send me an email, setlustingbruce@gmail.com. You can send me a voicemail at 469-249-2442. I am currently doing a few other podcasts. Perfectly Good Podcast, John Hiatt from A to Z, where Sylvan Groth and I discuss every John Hiatt song in alphabetical order. My Babylon 5 podcast is Last Best Hope for Conversation, where Lou Karen and I discuss every episode of Babylon 5 in chronological order. I still am doing Next Stop Everywhere, the Doctor Who podcast with my brother in time, Charles Skaggs. And then finally, How Many Podcasts, the only podcast on the internet that counts, where my buddies and I discuss pop culture. You can go to our Patreon page and support the podcast for as little as $1 a month. You can go to our Facebook page, like, and please, please go to iTunes or wherever you get your podcast and leave a 5-star rating and review for all of the podcasts that I'm doing. It's okay if you don't listen to them, but if you subscribe and rate, it really will make my day better. Thank you, and I will talk to you soon.
You just heard the fun-talking, hard-rocking, music-loving, album-ranking, fan-thinking, joy-spreading, lyric-reading, story-sharing podcast that is the one, the only, Set Listing Bruce. The theme for Set Listing Bruce was written by David Rosen, used by permission.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett. Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's fantasypoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. Fantasypoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.